see, most people, like, they don't grow up in a home where mom and dad have this marriage that they say, when I grow up, I want to be like my mom and dad. They've probably grown up in a broken home. The divorce rate, whatever the numbers are, they tend to differ, but it's 50% inside the church and outside the church. And most men and women have not grown up in a home where mom and dad are still married or that have a marriage that they would want to be like when they grow up. So we have this incredible opportunity within the church to help couples see what this can be and should be. And so it is an amazing felt need that the church could and should meet.
Welcome to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. I'm Karen Conley, and I'm in studio today with my husband, Chris, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. And we also have with us one of my favorite people who has so much to offer us on the topic of marriage. But I'm going to let Chris, will you introduce our guest?
Our guest is Scott Kadarsha. Scott, welcome to the show. Scott is in the ministry at Watermark Church and has a specialized focus in the area of all things marriage. So we're going to learn some amazing things today. Scott, tell us what your specific role is at Watermark.
Yeah, well, it's really good to be here with you. Yeah, so I work at Watermark Community Church, and I am the director of premarital and newly married ministry. Terrible title, but I get to help couples who are premarried, newly married, start the relationship right. I love what I get to do. It's something I kind of fell into by accident, but really helping to get to play good offense with couples. So before the problems come in down the road, I get to help them make a great decision about marriage on the premarried and newly married side.
As we talk about marriage, one of the things that's really fun for us, Scott is married to Karen's sister, Kristen. Not only is Scott excellent at everything that he does in ministry, but he's also family. Man, we love you. You are an amazing leader, but also you're an amazing brother. So we're thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Scott, as you said, you kind of landed into pre-marriage. When we met you, you were a physical therapist. Obviously, something transpired. You ended up with this fantastic ministry. Maybe give us just a thumbnail sketch of what God did in your life to lead you to where you are today.
Kind of like most people, I grew up always wanted to be a marriage pastor. I mean, who doesn't grow up wanting to be a marriage pastor? Now, I grew up in Pennsylvania, grew up very far from the Lord, no idea what a relationship with Christ looked like, didn't even really know what a Christian was. Lived the first 22 years of my life just really far from the Lord, pursuing everything the world had to offer, sex, drugs, rock and roll. I mean, all of that was kind of the lifestyle I led. And then God brought a couple people into my life over the next few years, one of which is my current wife, played a big role in my growth and my faith and a radical life change that really took me from being a physical therapist to becoming someone who was radically committed to following Christ. In my life, not that there was anything wrong with being a PT. I love being a physical therapist. But the Lord changed my life so much that there really wasn't anything else I wanted to do with my life than to help others know about the hope of Christ. And so that led me from being a full-time physical therapist to being someone who was called to ministry. And so that happened probably when I was about 27, 28 years old. I pushed away the call to ministry for a couple of years and didn't know what that looked like and what it meant. And then finally gave into that call, surrendered to the call, and have not regretted it since. It's not always been amazing. You know, there's ups and downs along the way, but I love what I get to do and just really helping to get couples prepare well for marriage and have marriages that honor the Lord and that they really love being married to one another, which is so different than what we often see around us.
I'm just thinking about our audience for Lead Like Jesus and how many godly men are out there in the professional world. And I know you had just finished your master's degree at Emory. You had done everything you needed to have a career in physical therapy just take off. And I just know that there are other men probably and women listening to this that maybe wrestle with that they have a desire to be used in a way. They go to bed every night knowing that they were able to be on mission for Christ. And you can absolutely do that in a hospital. You were at Shepherd Center in Atlanta, one of the premier hospitals for spinal cord injuries, and you could absolutely make an impact there. And if you're in the corporate world, you can absolutely be a believer that makes a difference. I think it is such a testimony. You guys packed up your bags from Atlanta. You moved to Dallas. You went to Dallas Theological Seminary, entered into another master's program. It was not without a cost. Mm-hmm. Here you are on the other side of this so many years later, and I think I know you're story well enough to know. I don't think you have a single regret that you obeyed God's calling and surrendered your life to be able to work full time doing this.
You know, the one thing I miss and that I tell people all the time that are thinking about going into ministry is I work with a bunch of Christians. Now, I live in a neighborhood and our kids go to public school and our kids play sports, so we have opportunities to share our faith. I can invite my server at lunch any day, somebody, a barista at Starbucks, but to work with people who are non-believers, I miss that. That's the one thing I miss the most about not being in full-time ministry. You know, I worked at Shepherd Center. We were leading Bible studies, and I was sharing my faith all over the place, and I miss that. So I have to look outside of my work to find opportunities to share my faith, to share Christ with people who don't know the Lord. And so, yes, there are opportunities at church. But for those of you who are out there, you don't have to be in full-time vocational ministry to be a Christian. Those things are not mutually exclusive with one another. And so a fully devoted follower of Christ is someone who shares Christ with everyone around them, who shares a hope of Christ with anyone, regardless of whether you work a full-time job in ministry, outside of ministry, a mom, a dad, a grandparent, whatever you do, we all have opportunities all around us to share Christ.
And that's one of the privileges of a podcast like this. We as Christian leaders have the privilege of equipping the saints. And the word saint is a little bit interesting to use. No one thinks of themselves as a saint. It means little holy ones, people who have chosen to be followers of Christ. It's our privilege to equip people to go do exactly what you just said, to go equip them to do the ministry, not just in the context of church, but to do the ministry throughout every arena of their life, and also to do it in the workplace as well. Now, of course, there's an appropriate way to do that or not, but we hope that we can equip you in this, both on a personal level and a professional level. Scott, before we jump into what you do on a professional level, set the stage a little bit, because when people hear the word church, they have all kind of different images that come into their mind. Maybe they grow up in a small community and they think about the town square church, or maybe they grow up in a larger city and they think of more of a mega type church. Set the stage a little bit so that we know what Watermark Church is, and tell us a little bit about the church so that we have an understanding of the magnitude and the grasp of the ministry that you're responsible for.
Yep. Tell you a little bit about Watermark and tell you why I love the local church so much. So my life was radically changed in the local church. You know, as someone who was far from the Lord for the first 22 years, started going to a great church in Atlanta when I was 22, 23, became a believer a few years later. And my life was changed by the church. And I saw the church really is the hope of the world. And I saw what the Lord had done there in my life personally. When we moved to Dallas, I didn't think I could find another church like the church we were part of in Atlanta. What I found in Dallas is just how much my life has changed through the local church. I found people who loved me, who cared for me, who didn't expect me to come in fully cleansed and perfect and having all my stuff together. And instead, I found a place where people loved me where I was and also did not want me to stay where I was. Being a part of a church like Watermark has just given me the opportunity for every part of my life to change. My lust, my anger issues, the hurts, the guilt and shame from sexual sin in the past, people pleasing, fear of man. I've struggled with overeating and weight. All of those things that have been just issues that I've discussed and brought forward and shared with community, had people pour into my life. And we have ministries at our church that have addressed every one of those issues. I have friends who provide the safest place for me. I've got a wife who loves me enough and who understands the gospel enough and understands grace and forgiveness to help partner with me in growth in marriage. And so being part of a church is not just a place you go on a Sunday morning. Being a part of a church like Watermark has radically changed my life in every single way. God has used His word, His people, and His spirit to change everything about me. It's hard to capture rightly in words when your life has been radically changed by what God can do through the local church.
Obviously, having spent our past 20 plus years in a local church, there's a lot of accurate understandings, but also a lot of misperceptions as well as to the local church. And everybody that walks into a church, you know, they walk in kind of in one of three categories. They either walk in healthy, and that's fantastic, or they walk in hurting. Kind of the purpose of the church is to provide healing to the hurting. And sometimes people walk in with kind of a hard heart, and maybe they've been hurt by the church in the past or a misunderstanding of God in some way. Watermark is really, really dynamic in its ability to come alongside of hurting people, provide healing. Give us a little context to the size of the church, because I think it's important to understand that as you are a leader in the marriage ministry, that it's widely known and respected that it's the premier marriage ministry in America, probably the best marriage ministry in America. When we think about credibility as to what we're going to be talking about today, it's important for people to understand a little bit about the church in that way.
Watermark started in about 1999. It was eight families or so meeting in a living room, continued to grow over the years. We met in high schools and hotels and wherever we can meet over the years. We finally got our own piece of land in 2003, moved in permanently in 2007. Since then, we're actually now on three campuses in Dallas, Fort Worth, and Plano. Typical weekend, we have about 15,000 people will attend one of our three campuses. And then, like you said, Chris, one thing I love about Watermark, and I used to think it was kind of weird in the beginning, is that we have a ministry for everything. So if you are struggling in your marriage, we've got a ministry. If you want to start your marriage well, we've got a ministry. If you're struggling with an addiction or hurt or just a habit, we've got a ministry. If you are struggling with infertility, with miscarriage in your past, if you're grieving the death of a loved one, we've got a ministry for it. And I used to think that was really strange, that we had a ministry for everything. But what I found over the years, it's become an amazing place for God to work through these felt needs. And so we can reach out to the community. If you've got a felt need in any part of life, Watermark becomes a safe place for you to grow, to be strengthened, to find healing, to find hope, whatever your issue, struggle, hurt, habit, addiction might be.
If our audience has adult sons or daughters, if they have people that are kind of in their 20-somethings and they're entering that phase, or if they're in that phase themselves, speak to that area of pre-marriage / beginning years of marriage.
Let me frame it up in the beginning. So the way that we talk about marriage at Watermark, we've got an acronym, P-E-E-R, PEER. We prepare newlyweds, we establish newlyweds, and we enrich and restore all marriages. And so what that means there is that we really try to meet all the needs there. We try to have a ministry or an opportunity for everyone to grow, whether you're pre-married, newly married, the normal average couple who wants to grow, or the couple who's struggling. We do that a couple different ways. We prepare our newlyweds in a ministry called Merge that I've gotten to be a part of over the last 10 plus years, and it's become an amazing outreach to our community. Again, that's something I never grew up wanting to do. But as couples, and we just happen to have a lot of young adults and a lot of young couples at our church, and so those men and women, this is the most significant decision they're ever going to make, apart from whether or not they're going to choose to follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Who you marry, it affects every part of your life. It can make your life either miserable if you make the wrong decision. It can be an incredible source of joy and satisfaction and sanctification, helping us grow if you make the right decision. So the church ought to be the place where people get the counsel and help to help them make this decision. You know, we shouldn't farm it out to somebody else. We shouldn't say a family or friend should take care of it. Yes, family and friends should play a role, but why would the church not step into this arena and play an incredible role and a leading role in helping couples make the right decision about marriage?
One thing for Chris and I, these types of things didn't exist 22 years ago when we got married, and we ended up reaching out to a pastor and asking two pastors to disciple us and prepare us, and they did that one-on-one, and we are forever grateful for the foundation that they gave us in our life. But I do think that it is important for parents of adult children and for young adults themselves that are in this phase of life. If you don't find it at your church, it is a ministry that is growing throughout this country. There are churches that have the Merge type programs all across this country, and it is worth doing some research in your local city and finding out where are the vibrant pre-marriage ministries, because I know in our context, there are so many couples that will come in, and you tell us if this is your experience at Watermark. Maybe one of the two, kind of stereotypically, it might be the woman dragging the guy in saying, listen, if you're going to marry me, can't we at least do this? I know maybe you don't go to church, or maybe this isn't a big priority for you, but let's at least get our marriage started in this context. If you walk into one church and they don't have that, it's important enough to seek out a healthy, vibrant ministry to begin your marriage. Is that your typical situation coming in or not?
Yes. And I hate gender stereotypes that all men are this way and all women are this way. But this is one when I found over the years that tends to be true, is that the women tend to drag the guy in. That's not always the case, but it often is. So when we think about marriage ministry, we want to almost gear it towards men. We want this to be a safe place for guys. We want to cater to the women, but we also want to make it something that's very appealing to the guy. So if you're following Jesus, that's fun. We don't often think of him as being someone who you love to spend time with. He was funny. He was fun, but he is. And so if the church isn't the same way, then we're missing the mark. So we think of that when we do premarital ministry, we want people to enjoy being there. We want the learning experience to be fun. And what we found is that even if somebody doesn't believe in Christ, there is this incredible felt need about wanting to do marriage right. See, most people, like, they don't grow up in a home where mom and dad have this marriage that they say, when I grow up, I want to be like my mom and dad. They've probably grown up in a broken home. The divorce rate, whatever the numbers are, they tend to differ, but it's 50% inside the church and outside the church. And most men and women have not grown up in a home where mom and dad are still married or that have a marriage that they would want to be like when they grow up. So we have this incredible opportunity within the church to help couples see what this can be and should be. And so it is an amazing felt need that the church could and should meet.
Scott, let's take it from the perspective, someone just got engaged. Walk us through the process that if that person just got engaged and they were to find out about Merge from start to finish, what does that process look like? How does this program build a foundation in their marriage? What are the components of this? What's the value? Why should they take the Merge class, and why should they maybe call Watermark or send an email to Watermark and say, hey, who are the other churches that y'all have equipped around the country so that we can find a program like this?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the way I'd answer that from the beginning, Chris, is just to say, if you get engaged or you're in a relationship, you got a wedding date on the calendar, everyone is going to be concerned about what happens on your wedding date. They want you to help pick out the right venue, the right dress, who are you going to invite, where are you going on your honeymoon, what colors are you going to choose? What flowers are you going to choose? When are you going to get your dress? All these things that people are going to ask you. What we tell couples all the time is that you've got to prepare for more than just your wedding day. Wedding day is significant. We care about the wedding. We want you to have a great wedding. We care so much more. The church should care much more about what happens the day after you say, I do. What happens for the next 50, 60, however many years the Lord gives you together as a couple, we are more concerned about what happens after you say, I do, not just on the wedding day. If a church is going to reach couples before they say, I do, then you want to help them make that decision. Should they get engaged? Should they still get married, even if they are already engaged? And so we want to help them discuss the right things and ask the right questions. And so we open up God's word together. We look at what the Bible says about communication and money, in-laws, and about sexual intimacy, spiritual intimacy, expectations. We all have expectations about every part of life. And so helping you identify maybe where your expectations are unrealistic or what happens when they're not met, we'll speak into every one of those topics and much more.
You just gave a big list. So I want you to kind of go through that list a little bit slower. Some people heard, oh gosh, I've got a problem in that area. Oh, I've heard war stories in that area. Man, I want more in that area. So walk us through that list and maybe just touch on the importance of each of those areas and kind of how you guys help people build a healthy foundation there.
So here's a great example, communication. We often think like the goal of communication is to make sure that you hear me. If you hear me, then I've won. Whereas the reality is that, yes, you want to be understood, but the bigger thing is that you want to make sure that you understand your significant other. So we're very quick to go to James 1:19, which says every one of you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Our tendency in the way that most of us live is that we're the opposite. We're very quick to speak, quick to get angry, and very slow to listen. So we want to help couples understand, hey, you want to learn how to understand your significant other. Mutual understanding is probably a better goal. Conflict. Conflict is something that we tend to think is a negative thing. And reality is, like, if you're married more than 15 seconds, you're going to have a disagreement with your significant other. So we need to reframe.
Karen and I have disagreements all the time about how to do this podcast.
Yes, we do.
I witnessed that on the way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, and that's not a sign. Like, you have an incredible marriage. I would tell anyone that you can model your marriage after Karen and Chris, but just because they conflict doesn't mean that they're abnormal. It means they're absolutely normal.
Yes.
And so we want to teach you how to apologize, how to ask for forgiveness. And, you know, saying I'm sorry is not the same as asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness requires a level of humility that just apologizing doesn't. And so training you how to apologize, seek forgiveness, keep short accounts. When it comes to money, we want to talk about the fact that, you know, it's all God's. How do you budget your finances? It's not just about putting together a budget, but it's about how to, as a couple, deal with your differences when it comes to money. that one might be a spender, one might be a saver. And so how do you handle those differences? Something like sexual intimacy. How do you deal with the fact we are in a pornified, over-sexualized culture? Pornography, it's available to every one of us. It's anonymous. It's affordable. It's different than when the three of us grew up together, when it was much more of a secret, hidden thing. Now, pornography has infected our culture. It's affected men, and not just men. It's infected women. And we're coming into marriage now with sexual baggage that we've got to learn how to deal with and walk through. And so we want couples to have a right understanding of sexual intimacy. So when we talk about sex, like, we'll even tell them, first thing out of our mouths is, hey, let's kind of wipe the slate clean when it comes to sex. Whatever you think it might be, we need to reframe what you think about it, because God's word speaks into sexual intimacy. And so it becomes a great opportunity again for the church to come into an area where there's a lot of hurt and where we can provide a lot of hope.
That is how the church should be, to normalize what is normal. I can just imagine, as you're working with pre-married and newly married couples, it's not that sometimes stereotypical. You walk into a church and everybody expects that you have done everything right your entire life, and if not, just keep it quiet. There is something very important about having health and honesty and normalizing things as you enter into this lifelong relationship, or it probably won't be lifelong if you go in hiding things. So I think that's something that this generation has tapped into a little bit more than previous generations, where you just kind of kept everything quiet and hoped that no one found out, to go, okay, what do you need to do to normalize this and then to grow and be healthy?
Part of my story is I started looking at porn when I was 6 years old, became fully addicted as a probably 10 or 12 year old, and that affected me in tremendous ways. Started acting out a lot of what I saw, brought a lot of baggage into marriage. Now, I was not a virgin when I got married. My wife was, but that doesn't mean that she didn't bring baggage with her as well. And so we have to deal with that, whatever the baggage is and however much hurt is in our past and whatever addictions we have. And so if the church, or even as Christian leaders, if we pretend that stuff isn't there, sometimes I'll get the question, well, how do I counsel someone when I haven't lived it out myself? You lay down to your weakness. You tell people where you fell short. This doesn't excuse the things I've done in the past, but I wish you can make decisions that are very different than the ones that I made. So I'm praying my boys will have a very different story than I will.
If someone doesn't have the opportunity in their local community to go to a class like Merge, what would you say would be one or two books that you would recommend, or even podcast or resources that maybe Watermark offers? What's the best way for them to get this type of training, this type of teaching through different forms of media?
A couple of things I recommend. One is that if you are at a church and you don't have a premarital ministry or a marriage ministry, we'd love to help you at Watermark. DFWmarriage.org. We'll tell you the details of everything we do marriage-wise. We'll help your church get started. If you're at a local church that's not doing anything, we would love to help. If that's not an option, there's some great books out there. I've just read Matt Chandler's book, The Mingling of Souls. I think it's fantastic for couples in any stage of life. Gary Thomas has written a whole bunch of marriage books. I'd recommend anything that he writes. Andy Savage, High Point Church, is another guy who's just done some incredible things on relationships and marriage and premarital ministry. I'll check out what Andy has to say. If this was in the future, a couple of years from now, I'd tell you to read my book. So I'm starting to work on a pre-married book. It's not out yet. A couple of years from now, Lord willing, that will be out there. But there's some great stuff out there. You do want to be discerning on what you read and what you look into, but there's some great stuff that's out there. Tim Keller, The Meaning of Marriage, would be another one. I can go on and on about that.
Scott, maybe one other component that I want to make sure we don't neglect as we wrap up this first podcast for you to speak into, especially if we are talking to someone that's not in Memphis and can't get to Making Marriage Make Sense, that's not connected with a church that's using the Merge material. The component that I have found to be so helpful with so many couples that I know you and Kristen have done repetitively, that we see also lived out in our ministry, is that role of a marriage mentor. If someone is not connected to a church that has this type of ministry, maybe within their church, they could seek out a couple and ask them to play a strategic role in their development in their pre-marriage and early marriage days. If you were a couple out there that just got engaged, you maybe are at a great church, but they don't have a lot of young marrieds, who would you look for? What type of mentor would you seek out? Not just a book, but somebody that would help them navigate through those days.
I'm going to answer that in a little bit of a roundabout way. We actually went to a bridal show in Dallas, put a booth up at the bridal show, and talked about her premarital ministry. Every other booth that was there was focused on the wedding day. There were probably 100 other booths there, maybe 200 others. I can't even count them all focused on making sure that you look good and you get the right things for your wedding. No one was there to help you prepare for marriage. And we said, we just want to be the place where you can get the counsel that you need for marriage. What we noticed in that is that so many moms came by and told us, you are the one thing that my daughter needs the most, but the thing that she wants to do the least. There's something about us that just doesn't want to invite others in to help us. And I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's insecurity. I don't know if there's this fear that if I invite someone in to my story, that they're going to ruin my fun. They're going to break us up. And I can't think of anything more significant than bringing God's people into your relationship, to have someone to help you grow. And so if you're looking for a mentor, just find someone. Find a couple who has a marriage you would want to emulate, that you'd want to be like when you grow up. They're not perfect. They don't have it all together. They might feel insecure. So if that's the case, go find someone that you want to be like and say, well, I'd love to buy you coffee. My fiance and I would love to buy you dinner. We just want to sit down with you and pick your brain. We want to learn. Basically, what would you want to know if you were starting marriage today? And so find someone that you want to be like when you grow up. Offer to buy them dinner or coffee and ask them every question that you have. Be humble and be teachable.
Building a healthy foundation that first year of marriage is essential. If you were to look at that first year of marriage and say, here's two or three non-negotiables that you want to make sure are the priorities or the principles, what would be those two or three foundation builders that you would encourage people to put into this first year of their marriage?
That's great. A verse I love is Matthew 7:24-27. It's a story of Jesus says that there are two men who build their home. One builds their home on a foundation of rock. The other one builds their home on a foundation of sand. And I use the word foundation loosely on the sand. One, they build their house on sand. And it says for both of these men, the winds come, the storms come, the winds blow. They come and they beat against the house. The rains come. And so what that says is that there are going to be storms. It's inevitable. You've got to build your house on the solid rock foundation. So many couples just build their house on sand. We want to help them build their marriage on the solid rock foundation of Christ, because those troubles are going to come. For us, it was Chris and I, was that we had twins. And so for 6 months, we didn't sleep, especially Kristen. And so we walked through a trial. It wasn't our fault. We had sex and God gave us twins. That was our contribution to the problem there. But I'm so grateful our house was built on a solid rock foundation of Christ. And so all that to say, if there's a couple things that I would tell a newly married couple, one, whatever problems you think you have and you think you are the only ones, you are probably very, very normal. Okay, when you bring two sinful people together and they become husband and wife, it's inevitable that you're going to struggle. It's inevitable that she's bringing her way in and he's bringing his way in. So it doesn't mean that you're abnormal if you're having trouble. It means you're absolutely normal. And so having a mentor around you to help you realize how normal your issues are and your challenges are. I would also say find great friends around you that you can talk about those issues. You realize you're not alone. You're not terminally unique. You're not the only couple that's ever struggled with communication, money, in-laws, intimacy, whatever it might be. And I would say just do whatever you can to be on purpose and on mission together as a couple. There's a tendency, even as newlyweds, that we just want to kind of sequester ourselves away and enjoy being married. And I want you to do that. But I would also tell you that your life is so much more than just about you. I love Rick Warren. The first line of purpose-driven life is it's not about you. And there's something about marriage where we think it's all about us, and it's not. So find others, get a mentor, and then be on purpose and on mission together as a couple.
Scott, it has been so fun. I get to enjoy you as a brother-in-law, but to know what an expert you are in this area and what you are doing to make an impact in Dallas and the number of couples here. And we're convinced the body of Christ needs to take every city by storm and really make an impact so that it's no longer 50-50 of divorce rate inside and outside the church, but that we are watching that meter go in our favor. So thank you so much for coming to the Lead Like Jesus podcast, adding your expertise to this area. It affects all of us, no matter how old we are, how long we've been married. And these are topics that even if you don't have someone that's engaged right now or in that stage, to know how to begin praying for your adult children and grandchildren and how you might be a mentor couple. It is time for you to be able to look around in your community and be available to those young married couples that are coming up that they need your help.
Scott, if people wanted to follow you further on social media, if they wanted to read your blog, how could they do that?
ScottKudersha.com.
And so the good thing Kudersha.
About, yeah, the good thing about having my name is I can actually use that whole name. There's not many Kudershas. So it's ScottKedersha.com. You can follow me on Twitter at SKedersha. So again, SKedersha. On staff of Watermark Community Church, watermark.org. And then our webpage is dfwmarriage.org. That will give you all the information on everything we do as a church at Watermark. The blog, I started doing that about 3 years ago, and I've loved it. It's given me an opportunity to develop my thinking on marriage and relationships and ministry and books and reading. And so please check that out. There's a lot of great stuff on there, and I hope you'd be encouraged by it.
Thank you so much, Scott. For more information about leadership development and training resources, join us at leadlikejesus.com. And when it comes to leadership, there is no need to reinvent the wheel. There is a perfect model, and we simply need to follow him. Let the leader in you show, lead like Jesus.